In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. when we imagine the first Christmas, we picture a Hallmark moment. All is calm. All is bright. Mary and Joseph gathered quietly around a newborn baby lying in soft hay, some gentle animals around, maybe a few curious sheep. It's peaceful, it's tender, it's contained. But that's not the story that Luke tells. Luke begins not with angels, but with empire. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. And with that one sentence, Luke reminds us that Israel was occupied. Rome was in control. The census was not about convenience. It was about taxation and power. And with a single decree, whole populations of people were forced to uproot their lives and travel to be registered. For Mary and Joseph, that meant a journey of nearly 90 miles at the worst possible time, because Mary was pregnant, very pregnant. They traveled from Nazareth through rocky terrain, down into the Jordan Valley, and back up towards Jerusalem and Bethlehem. This was not calm, and this was not quiet. This was not Mary's ideal. When they finally arrived in Bethlehem, a town of maybe 200 people, they were not looking for a roadside motel. Mary and Joseph were not pulling into the Hilton Bethlehem, and they weren't checking availability at the Holiday Inn. And nobody was asking for their rewards card. Luke uses a very special term in this text, the Greek word kataluma. And it doesn't really mean inn like we think of a hotel these days. It means a guest room, often an upper room of a family home. In other words, Mary and Joseph were most likely seeking shelter with Joseph's own relatives. And that detail matters, because Bethlehem was Joseph's ancestral town. He would have had family there. But with the census, homes would be crowded, guest rooms would be full. And Luke tells us simply, almost painfully, that there was no room for them in the kataluma, the upper room. So they stayed where the family's animals were kept, probably the lower level of the home that was dark and crowded and there's no privacy. The sounds and the smells of livestock all around them. This wasn't a rustic barn scene. It was probably awkward and a little uncomfortable and very disappointing. But it was where Joseph's relatives lived. Mary had been told that her child would be great, son of the Most High, heir to David's throne. Surely she imagined something more dignified than this. Surely she expected better. And if we're honest, I think we understand that feeling. We all carry expectations of Christmas. We imagine warmth and harmony and beautiful homes and gathered families, joy without tension. But often what we experience instead is stress and grief, strained relationships, empty chairs, or just exhaustion. Christmas doesn't always turn out the way we hope or plan. And here is the astonishing good news of this night. God does not wait for ideal circumstances before coming near. God is born not in a palace, not even in a guest room, but in the overflow of a crowded house in a place where there wasn't quite enough space. And notice where God chooses to announce the birth, not in Rome, not in Herod's court, not in the temple in Jerusalem, but to shepherds working the night shift, watching sheep out in the fields. That's where the angels go. That's where the angels appear. That's where glory breaks into the darkness, because this is who God is. The God who comes low. The God who enters real life as it actually is. This story tells us that even when we feel crowded out, even when we feel like there's no room for us, even when life feels awkward or disrupted or far from what we had hoped, God is there. Peace is there. Love is there. Hope is lying in the manger. Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. With us in disappointment, with us in fear, with us in joy, with us in the middle of our very human lives. And so tonight is not about creating a perfect Christmas. It's about receiving a present that God has already given, because to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, the light of the world. Amen. Amen.